In because of the Bible school at the moment, and in the light of our being exercised in the light of our study in John and that on oneness, which God requires, which is very rarely understood and even less practiced. So I thought it might be good, maybe, to try a little exercise. And here's the body, local body. That's what local bodies are, Antioch, Jerusalem, etc. And here's the local body exercising itself in the VBA, Vacation Bible School. So I thought we want to be body supporting everything, just like the, hold my watch up, I won't stop. Here's my watch, and the rest of my body is cooperating with my hand holding it. My whole body is in understanding my hand is holding the watch, understand? God knows the body, and the body does things. When the body does things, the whole body is involved. Here's the tissue and the both hands. My whole body is involved in what I'm doing. My liver, my pancreas, my big toe, it's all involved. So let's have a little exercise, perhaps. It might be helpful in exercising what I just said in the light of the Bible school and wanting to be supportive. And we need to be, because the whatever I do with my hands, my rest of my body is supporting, is all going along together. Now, so if you turn in your Bible to Acts and chapter 4, and in Acts chapter 4, here's the local church when it was pretty healthy back then, to say the least. It was practicing oneness, just like all, it should, the whole, his church should be doing that. And when you come to chapter 4 and verse 33, you recall, with great power gave the apostles witness of the local church in, etc., Jerusalem. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And that was the whole purpose of the local assembly, to bear record to God's resurrection, as you'll see, Lord willing, coming up. And again, and great grace was upon them all. Awesome outreach. Persecution is going to come even greater, but not yet. Now, having said that, here's our outreach going, and we share together the body, the head. Your body has a head, and your head has a body. Christ is the head, and the believers, the church, is his body. The church belongs to the Christ. Christ belongs to the church. It's his body. Therefore, walk that in over to Ephesians. And in chapter 2, so we go A, B, C to get where we're going. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him, that's Christ, God for Christ, and gave him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the church. And then the church is defined, verse 23, the church which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. It's an awesome, the body, we did all this, but the body supports the head supports the body. Christ is the fullness of the body. The head supplies the computer, the brain, supplies everything going to the body. And the body supplies everything the head needs. They're related awesomely. It's a unique oneness, just like your head to your body. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, over to, in the light of that body. So here's the Apostle Paul, and he's in jail in Rome. He's at Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians. He's going to write from the jail. And in the writing of it, the persecution's growing and changing. And so he writes to them from jail. And he's a prisoner. And he's a prisoner of Rome. And he is going to be a prisoner again, which we'll look at, the last imprisonment he has. And he's trying to encourage the believers that aren't in prison, but they may be, and there's persecution, and he needs to help them understand. From a position that isn't easy, he's in prison. And in the process, he's trying to encourage those that are out there on the battlefield, as it were. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind on the battlefield, go again. So what do we know? What do you know, Paul, in jail? He's going to be in jail again. 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, if I can, in chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. What else is Paul going to help us understand? Verse 9, directly. Verse 9, 2:9, 2 Timothy. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even so, unto bonds, imprisonment. But the word of God is not bound. It is not bound. There is no, it's perfect tense. It hasn't been bound. It can never be bound. It never is tied, never hindered, never altered, always free to function, always loose, never tied up. So no matter what the conditions anywhere, God is never tied up in a situation that he can't resolve. There's 1,000 situations going on right now. A zillion, how's that? Situations going on right now among people. And God has no problem with any one of them. No problem. Now you say, no. Well, let me do it a different way. Remember your GPS thing? We said on Sunday, here's your GPS. And there you are driving your little wagon down the street or whatever it is. And you're driving down the street. And there are 3 million in the state of Connecticut, whatever it is. And all of them are doing the same thing. Now, is the GPS paying attention to you? Absolutely. Absolutely. It tells you and mileage and distance and everything. No, it's telling you. But it's telling everyone else in Connecticut the same thing all at once. Did you ever figure that out? Did you ever think how awesome that is? Because some little thing up there is, I don't know what they got up there. They must have a big building that has all this in it. No, they don't have a big building. All of it is there. It'll blow you. If you start thinking about it, when you go to bed tonight, give you something to do. Try to figure out how your little thing in the hand tells you where you are, timing, weather, everything. Exactly where you're going, it already knows it, and it knows it for everybody else all at once. And if that's true for us humans, how much so when God says, everyone is in my mind, like the stars of the heaven. So all of a sudden, that awesome truth becomes rather, well, so what? See? Because it's normal. We do it in everything. Now, so here's second tip. The word of God is not bound. So God uses his word It's not bound, and God is able to go and what? Every single person, what we're doing in Vacation Bible School, all of this, all of that is happening at once. The conditions are there, the circumstances are there, the situations vary in all a zillion kinds of ways, but no matter how they vary, it's still the same. God, you know, here's all the, no matter what it is, over here, God knows it, God's on top of it. But over here, God knows it and is on top of it, just like the GPS. God knows all of that. That's an awesome thing, God knows. And therefore, so our conditions, here's the, you've got a, maybe a warm day tomorrow, et cetera, for the Bible school, and it's get you being there, trying to do everything, keep track of everything, and that can get weary, get draining, difficult sometimes, and for people coming and going. So God, each condition exists for us tomorrow if the Lord tarries. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, what are we going to do? Over to Ephesians, because everything is going on at once. Ephesians in chapter 6. And if I may, going directly to verse 18, 6 and 18 of Ephesians. And you will note, praying, speaking out to God, praying always, with all prayer, always communicating and being communicated to, always praying with all prayer and supplications, special requests when needed, in the Spirit of God, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So here we are, body oneness, local body, and we're all there. We need to understand everyone's in a different situation, different conditions, different many things, different. But having said that, they're all different. At the same time, God is the same. God's word is the same. God's will is the same. What God's work is the same. So what God is doing by way of the local body assembled together is very upbeat, up front, because of all the activity in all of the world. The primary and chief activity that is never less than being on top of the pile is what's happening in the outworking of the body that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the top, never stops. In other words, I have a lot of things you have going on, but here's your head again, your physical body, and of many things going on all over the world right now. Whatever's going on in your body is first and foremost to you, isn't it? You can't get away from it. It's just there. You got a toothache, no matter what's going on, it's your toothache. It's his body. It's very important what's happening and how it is, if you understand that. Now, having said that, praying without ceasing, and thus what you're going to do in the light of verse 10 through 17, you're going to need to put on the whole armor of God in order to work things out and make it survive as you need to, for God's honor and for God's glory. Now, having said that, you got to put on the armor on because you aren't in a little picnic going out there. You're in a battlefield. The world. The world loves darkness rather than light. They don't want to know the truth, and they are opposed to the truth, opposed to light, like we have. They're opposed to that in a grand, big kind of way. And it's happening in our own country, and they've been Pandora's box, as it were, has been opened, and it's can't close it. It's where it's going. Now, in the light of that armor that God puts on, what do we need to know? Well, here's the battlefield, and the armor's there, the enemy's there. What are we going to do, God? Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians in chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 10 directly in the light of the context, for, not of works, verse 9, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has a what? Plan. Before you were ever created, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And God has a plan. That's why you were able to be born on planet Earth. And that plan was written in the mind and heart of God before anyone and anything was ever created. So here you are sitting there, and what we just read, you're reading that which has been written before anything was ever created about you. That's awesome. Before you were ever created, God has written about you. And your day, all that's going to happen the rest of this week is written. Is written. The conditions, the character, the circumstances. Now, so having said that, to work out, to outwork your good, his good works, and we should live, we walk, we live our life minute by minute, hour by hour, as we walk and behave ourselves, believing as we go down the corridor of time. Now, having said that, those good works, what about that good working that God has in mind for me before the foundation of the world? Colossians chapter 1. And in Colossians in chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not, remember, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians are all written from prison. Paul's there. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, verse 10, purpose that you might walk worthy. Remember, we're going to walk in the good works that God is for the foundation of the world. Okay, we're going to walk worthy. Remember, the word worthy means to balance the old-fashioned scale, put the weights on, and here's where God is, here's what it is, and you want to make sure you balance. You don't want to be out of balance. You don't want to make that go down. You don't want to make this go, you want to be balanced. Balance, balance the scale. That's what worthy means. Balance the scale. What God wants on this side, you want on this side. So it balances. You want God's will, you balance it. God's word, I want it. You balance. Now, so therefore, verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So God meant all of his plan for your life to outwork itself if you would just get with it, not that you aren't necessarily, but to get with it, you got to be doing it. You got to be in God's will. You want it. Why? It's going to happen. That's what it's going to do. I don't know what I want. God does. I don't know how it's going to go. God does. So therefore, in the light of Colossians, and in chapter 4, while you're here, just to add to that, chapter 4, again, in verse 2, again it is said, continue in prayer. Remember, you've always been in communication with God. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. So you want to be looking to God with thanksgiving for the outworking. Now, having said that, God's going to outwork, and here we are living in our conditions and circumstances and everything. Over to Romans and chapter 8. Now, what else do we know? Well, we're looking, how do we handle the conditions? How do we handle the thing tomorrow, the next day? How do we handle the weather? How do we handle anything? So, Romans chapter 8. And you would recall, if I can, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, and faults and failures, etc. 4, we know not what we should pray. But it says, don't stop praying. Okay, I'm looking to God. Hang on, I got to put that together. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So we don't want to make a whole lot of words going nowhere. We don't want to do that. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us on our behalf with groanings which cannot be uttered. So God knows what he wants before the foundation of the world. He wants that to be outworked. Now, how's it going to be outworked? God makes it outworked. So I don't make it outwork, and you don't make it outworked. God makes it outwork. It's the Spirit of God's ministry. He knows exactly what God's will is. He knows exactly the Word of God. And that's what his ministry is. I don't know it. I don't know how to handle midnight tonight, but God does. God's already there, like the GPS. It's already there. Already there. Now, so therefore, in Romans 8:27, that he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession, caring, interceding, for the saints according to the will of God. And we just mentioned that. That's what he's going to do. That's his ministry. That's God's ministry in his, because of Christ's work on the cross. That's what he's going to do. So here we are, whatever it is you're living in. And what do we know in the light of that is in context, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. They want God's will. They love God's what God's after. To them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. So we got the purpose part. We just need to love what God wants for us tomorrow. What God wants for us tonight. That's what you want. And that's why we love him, because he first loved us. He has a plan, and I love his plan. He loves me, and thus I love him. I want what he wants. That's all it is. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, all things work together for good to them that love God, called according to his purpose. Now, sliding over to verse 36, just to keep in mind, as it is written, remember, you list everything you could think of that would make be worse kind of living, persecution, famine, death. I mean, you name all the problems you could have in this world, and it hits some of them anyway. In hitting some, hits all of them. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. So God already knows. Here we are driving a car down the corridor of time. And all of these things are happening in our life, for good or bad, much or little. They're all happening. And the world system loves darkness. So everyone isn't saying hi and love you and have a good day. And everyone isn't doing that. In fact, it's the opposite where it's going. Now, so therefore, verse 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We supersede, we override, we go beyond. A conqueror, like Samson's a conqueror, and other conquerors, and Titus in Rome, conquerors. But conquerors have nothing compared to the believer, who's more than a conqueror. They take all the conditions and everything there, and God is getting him down the corridor of time, outworking his wonderful plan in his wonderful, wonderful way that he does so in his saving grace. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over to Jude, and just ahead of Revelation, you know, and in Jude, remember now, praying in the Spirit of God's praying. You didn't ask him to pray, did you? You didn't ask him to pray. You'd probably, many people don't even care that he prays. He's praying. He is concerned about everything, the same as God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They're concerned about everything. There's nothing unconcerning, nothing that is indifferent to them. Now, so here's the book of Jude, and the salvation pressure was on in those days, the testing of being saved and all of that, the contending for the faith, verse 3. Now, over to verse 20. But, what are you going to say to us, Jude, out there, that are out in the battlefield? But ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying, there's your little word again, praying to God, pray without ceasing, in the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit of God, praying in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Remember the word ghost, spirit is the word spirit, ghost. And they never had Chasper the Ghost back in the days of King James, you understand? The ghost, ghost's coming. I saw a ghost last night. Well, then go wake up and try it again. You know, what can I tell you? You aren't going to do that. So what are we doing? So here we are going. We're praying. What are we doing? I understand. He's praying for me now. He's representing me. And I'm not going to disconnect him. So I'm going to be praying what? Without ceasing. What am I praying? Thank you, God, that you're covering my bases. And I'm going to pray. So I have to understand, pray. What am I doing? I'm trusting God as he outworks that which I don't even understand. In the whole world at once, he's doing it. And he's outworking it in my little life, in your little life, in VBS, etc., Vacation Bible School. Now, so praying in the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, in a most wonderful way. And so when you do that, you don't have to turn there, but you'd know if you turn to, though it's very good to keep in mind, John 15 and 4 and 5. If you abide in me, I abide in you. And as long as you keep abiding in me, and I keep abiding in you, like the branch in the vine, that's how the fruit and the fruit. The branches can't be there with little green leaves and decide to quit. If they're going to have fulfillment, what have they got to do? In order to have fruit, they're going to have to stay attached. You want to finish the course. How can I know the good works that God has for my life? Stay attached like the branch. So you have the fruit. The fruit. How are you going to get it? Well, maybe I'll get it. No, you're not going to get it that way. What are you going to have to do? You abide. Abide. Present tense. Be abiding. The branch to the vine. Understand. That's easy. What's so hard about that? That's what you do. The branch. You must have branches, you're glad. Trees somewhere, you must see them. Go look at them. And watch. They just stay right there all the time. No matter, it could be 110 tomorrow. The branch doesn't care. The branch doesn't care. It's going to suck up the water from down below. And we don't even see the water. But boy, those roots are going to get it. Wow. Now, so in the light of that, over to Philippians. And Philippians in chapter 4. And you will note chapter 4 and in verse 4, a command, present tense, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice is the key verb, is the key word for the word joy, grace. You know where the grace of God? It's from this word. Joy, J-O-Y, from this word. Rejoice, it's the root word for all of these things. Rejoice, be glad in the Lord. Always, always. There's no time of the day that isn't always. Always. And again, I say, rejoice. It's a command. Do it, do it. And what are you going to do? While you're rejoicing, looking to God, hitting out working of everything, verse 6, be careful for nothing. Don't worry. don't worry, don't be anxious, don't be of a divided mind about anything. Stop, say it another way in our language, stop worrying. Stop worrying. What is worrying going to do? And what do we know about it? Peace. And the crucible, how are you going to learn? How are you going to learn so we don't worry? And if we do worry, what's it going to do? It louses us up. We get caught up in our cares. We get caught up in the good and the bad, the much and the little. Our worrying gets us all ruffled, and we don't have good results, good thinking. And so all worry does, and takes experience. You have to live long enough and worry long enough to have the experience to understand worry's a lousy thing. The average person won't say that because they worry. It's part of our life to worry. Be anxious about everything. I'm anxious about this. I'm anxious about my job. I'm anxious about this. That's right. It's part of our life. So we don't want to have someone tell us not to worry. They don't mind. I don't mind saying don't worry. Sure, I won't worry. But well, I say I'm not going to worry. Well, I'm worrying. I'm already worrying while I say it because I don't even know the difference. So God, what have we got? Well, stop. Rejoice in the Lord always. Be careful for nothing. Stop. Stop worrying. Stop being anxious. Stop being divided about anything. And if you want to have that, if we had time, stop a second and then think about it. What do I have that I legitimately can worry about as a believer? Not as a person. There's a thousand things you could worry about as a person. But as a believer in the body of Christ, in the light of the truth is, what can you legitimately worry about? What could you even think that you could legitimately be worried about? You can't. Stop worrying. Take you nowhere, you'll get nowhere. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, to rejoice always, and the light, and it brings joy, it brings grace. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, because it says, pray without ceasing, always praying, always, Ephesians 6:18, praying always in the Holy Ghost, and that looking to God. That's right. We don't never stop the relationship. It's a oneness for real. And you can do all that we're reading because God has given you a unique relationship to God in Himself. We've been doing it on Sunday in that. I know it's rare. It is so simple. It's normal. That's the normal Christian life. You want to know what it is? How many people live a normal Christian life? Now, so therefore, in verse 6, by prayer and supplication. Supplication means that it's a little complicated what you're looking to, what you're facing. So you talk to God specifically. God, I got a problem with the dentist. I got a problem with this and that. And you're going to be a little specific. Normally, I'm just going to trust God and go to the dentist. I'm going to trust God and go to the grocery store. I'm going to trust God and whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to do it. But if it gets complicated, then I have to be supplicant. I have to look to God and talk to Him, get it off my chest, to get it out of my head, get it on the table. And don't play tennis with God. You know, I'm going to give God my problem. I prayed. I gave you God. Got it? Get your hand off of it. Get your hand off of it. Because what you're doing is taking it right back in here. And that requires the prayer of thanksgiving, which is what you got. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. With thanksgiving. And whenever you say truly thankful, it'll start you on the right track mentally. if you're stuck about something and caught in something and it's getting you, say, God, thank you for caring. That's it. Thank you. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know where it's going. I don't know what. Thank you. That immediately, if you do it from your heart to God, that's what you just said, thank you, stops you so you can proceed and go to the next thing. At least it slows you down. But no thankfulness, that's why. And why? Because God's busy what? Outworking his will for your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, till you die. So you say, what am I thanking God for? All that he's doing at 9 o'clock tonight. You're thanking God he's going to do it. He's already doing it. He's going to do it. The plan doesn't change. The rules don't change. God doesn't change. So you're understanding God is on the managing quite well. And I need to be thankful in everything, because that required. It's required. Now, picking up, please. And thus, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. The peace of God that helps, when you understand the peace of God, when you understand the peace of God, you'll feel good. Is that what it says? That's what we think it says sometimes. Not when you understand it. You don't understand it. And you thank God you don't understand it, because he does. And he got pieces you and I do not have on how it's going to go. He knows how it's going to go. So we don't look for our peace about everything. We look for God's wonderful peace and what he's doing. Do you understand that? That's like in Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God, which passes all understanding. It's God's peace, not your peace. And this isn't how you feel about stuff. I feel peaceful about it. I've heard how many people say, I'm in God's will because I feel peaceful about it, good about it. That does not mean it's God's will. That does not mean that. So, but that's what people do. Anyway, so going to pray. Now in the light of that, in the light of praying about everything and anything at all times, everything, everywhere, at all times, everything, everyone, no matter what, everything and everyone is in the presence of God. Who isn't? What isn't in the presence of God? But think about it. Here's airplane in the sky. Here's Venezuela, Canada, China, etc. Where isn't God present? You won't find him in the place. He's present. Always present. About everyone and everything, God is present. And I know that. He said, I'm in his presence. You're in his presence. We're sitting in his presence. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, God's wonderful, wonderful grace, as we sit in the presence of God. Philippians 1:6, then. What are we going to do? We've got the Bible school, but how to approach it? That's what we've been doing, trying to help you understand. We're going to prayerfully approach tomorrow if it comes. So Philippians chapter 1, and picking up, please, in verse 6. And writing again, in the light of all of it, work out, be confident, verse 6, you know, be confident, being full of courage, courageous, and fully assured, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a work. Does it say a work? Why does it say a good work? Because from the foundation of the world, that's what he has in mind, all that good work. So when you got saved, that which he had in mind before you were born becomes real. And thus a good work begins. The minute I receive Christ as my Savior, the good work commences. Wonderful. I don't even understand it. I didn't understand any of it. I'm not sure. It happened. I have to begin to let it catch up in my mind. So being confident of this very thing, he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ until he comes. So he's going to do it. I just need to line up with God. Oneness. I need to actually do it. Not just get it in my head intellectually. I need to do it. I need to live like that. And thus chapter 2. And in chapter 2, I'm picking up, please. And I could do a little more, but for time's sake here. Go to verse chapter 2 and in verse 12. Wherefore, in the light of the Lord's, verses 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, the Lord's crucifixion, the Lord humbled himself, became a man, went to the cross, and he bore all the conditions. He bore everything that's ever possible and paid the penalty so that good could come out of bad, that right could come out of wrong, that light could come out of darkness. God made it possible. Now, so verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but how much more in my absence in the writing, as he is writing from jail, work out your own salvation, God's work. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What are we working out? Whatever God has in mind. I don't know what God has in mind, but God has in mind. I haven't even got there tomorrow, if I do get there. And God already knows. So what am I going to do? I'm going to be looking to God to outwork his great salvation, outwork your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, all things are going on, but God's at working in my life. God's working in your life. God's working in your life. We're all together, one body, but God's working. Each person. Because each of us are different. Each of us have different backgrounds, different experiences. We react differently, how we've grown up with whatever idiosyncrasies we have and all this stuff we got, our personalities, whatever they are, and how we think. God has to deal with each one. Work out your own salvation. You can't do somebody else's. You can't do it. You have to work out your own. And how are you going to do that? Wow. The Spirit of God is praying, he's praying for outworking of it, Romans 8. So here in chapter 2, verse 13, For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God doing the work. Who's praying? God is. Spirit of God talking to God the Father, God the Father, God the Son, all together. What are they doing? We're in their presence, and here they are in our heart if we're saved, and God's doing what he's doing. And that's what I want. That's what I want. Oneness. Praying. Pray. I'm telling you how to pray. That's what you pray. That's what the prayer meeting is, to get us to be, have that oneness with what? With God's word. And when we get God's word a little clearer in our head and say, like you would as you come to the end of Philippians, turn the page. You have to quit, but you got the idea. Philippians chapter 4, verse 23. Grace of our Lord. Remember the word rejoice always. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And then the little four-letter word, what? Amen. So be it. After we said it all, so be it, God. That's the prayer meeting. So be it. So be your plan. So be your will. So be how you want it to go. And as it goes, and God only you can make it go.